Welcome back in, everybody. Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN 208 in the morning. Just joining us in the studio right now is Jessica Mlynarek. Did I do decently well on that?
Perfect.
Thank you very much. Jessica Mlynarek. Of course, I'm going to butcher it the rest of the time. Jessica Mlynarek is here with us to talk about her book, Secret Chicago. Thanks so much for jumping in and coming in tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. And what better time to talk about unusual places in the city than now?
Than 2 a.m.?
Exactly.
Because there's probably a lot of listeners out in unusual places right now.
I hope so.
Coming to think of it. So Secret Chicago is your book, and it's all about a bunch of different places. There are so many great places to visit, to hang out, to see in Chicago, a lot of history in Chicago. But as we could all imagine, a lot of places probably not a lot of us have heard of that are a little more out of the way or kind of forgotten, but still have some remembrance. What got you excited about doing something like this?
So I moved to the city, it'll be 10 years ago next month, or in a couple days, I guess. And when I moved here, I think just being new to the city, I noticed things stood out to me, and I was curious about them. Mm-hmm. And I would start asking questions about them to people who'd been here for a long time. And sometimes people could tell me a story, and sometimes they wouldn't, and I would just research it and write about it on my own little blog for myself. And then I started writing more for different publications around town, and it blossomed into a book. But I think just getting out and being so excited to be in a new place and being curious about things that stood out to me.
Yeah. Have you always been somebody like that, who just explored the unexplored and looked for things like that? What got you into something like that?
I would say so. I think growing up, I grew up in Cleveland. We did a lot of trips around Ohio and a lot of historical things and like weird kooky festivals. So I think my parents kind of instilled that in me.
Cleveland is a very maligned city.
It is.
Do you feel that? And do you like hate that? Or are you like, I get it? Or what is your feeling on your hometown?
I love my hometown. It's a lot like Chicago, much smaller, but terrible winters, sports woes. So, you know, it's not too different from here when I moved here. It is maligned, but I love it. It's got a lot going on for it.
So you would say unfairly maligned?
Fairly and unfairly.
Fairly and unfairly.
Yeah,
because Chicago is maligned too,
it's
for
true.
Sure.
Cleveland's been on the upswing, but, you know, we like to keep the good things a secret, so...
I have to ask you, because I was in Cleveland for the first time, spent actual time in there like a year ago.
Okay.
We went on a trip and we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed in the Rock
really?
And Roll Hall of Fame. I kind of was.
Yeah.
I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't it, I guess. I don't know. I mean, they had a lot of stuff on a lot of people, but then, I don't know. I just felt like there wasn't, there was barely any Tom Petty stuff. He had just died recently, and I was like stunned.
Oh my gosh.
And not a ton of Prince stuff.
Okay.
I don't know. I was just, do you love the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I know they have Tom Petty's hat from,
Alice
in Wonderland
video.
They have
like a glass display case
that
has some stuff and has some handwritten lyrics. That was like my favorite
part of
it.
I love Tom Petty, and I was fortunate to see him at Wrigley just before he died. So
I'm so mad I did not go to that
show. Oh my gosh. You know, it's a museum, so if you like finding weird artifacts and stuff, I like to go when there's a really cool exhibit on. So they had a Rolling Stones a few years ago that I went to, and so I just kind of wait until there's... an interesting exhibit, and then I'll go poke around and all the other stuff.
And if I'm not incorrect, Cleveland is the home of the house from A Christmas Story, right?
It is, yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I just found out, so it's a museum now.
Yeah.
I just found out that you can spend the night there, so I
really?
So that's a weird thing that I would like to go do.
That's interesting. And do you think it comes like with the bunny suit? You probably put on the bunny suit the whole thing?
I'm sure. Yeah, they've revived the leg lamp in Cleveland also. That's in A Christmas Story.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was filmed largely in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So somehow that's become like a local symbol, which is
kind of
funny.
Cool. Although set basically in Northwest Indiana.
Yes, correct.
Because the guy was from there.
Correct.
Fascinating. So, but you're not here to talk about Cleveland.
No.
But thank you for indulging
next
me.
Next
yes,
book.
Absolutely. So Secret Chicago. So you've been living here for about 10 years and finding all these different little places. Is there a favorite place of yours that when somebody talks to you that you're like, here's what nobody knows about, and I just love this?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. It's hard to say. I usually start by asking, you know, what neighborhoods people are familiar with or aren't, because I really tried to cover a lot of ground in the book. I had places I knew I wanted to include, and then I mapped them, and then I looked for the holes in the map, like what was I missing? And then I went into those communities and talked to people there. So one thing that I discovered through just talking to people was the Vanderpool Art Gallery in Beverly, which is in a Chicago Park District field house. So just your normal field house you see in there. There's kids playing basketball and summer camp and everything else. You go up to the second floor, and there is just a normal kind of room with tons of artwork in it, about 200 pieces of art. It's completely free to visit. And it's like priceless art by Mary Cassatt, Grant Wood,
oh, really?
Maxfield Parrish, and then a lot of local Chicago and Midwest artists. And it's got a really cool story. John Vanderpool is the artist that the collection is named after, and he was an art educator. He lived in Beverly in the community, and he taught at the Art Institute. He was actually one of Georgia O'Keeffe's professors. She famously said that he was like her favorite professor. So he was a famous artist in his time, and he passed away. And when he died, a lot of his friends and admirers, other artists, were donating works in his name.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the collection started. So it was an
really
entirely
cool.
donated collection, and it's free to view. And
but it's maintained by the Chicago Park District?
It's in the Park District building. It's maintained by, I believe, the museum itself.
Okay.
But it is being housed in the Park District right now.
Interesting.
So I don't know that Park District owns it, but and the curator, Sydney Hamper, he's a historian. He just has an encyclopedic knowledge of every piece and how it was donated and what the person's relationship to John Vanderpool was. It's really quiet space and,
yeah.
you know, cheaper than some of the art museums in town.
Yeah, totally. We have a free, I think I just got a pitch for like the I can't remember if maybe it's this weekend. There's a free museum day, and they were pitching me to do an interview on it. And I was looking through, and like there were so few major Chicago things in it that I was like, "Oh, I'm not going to do this interview." But there's it's a you must have found like a little art space like that. There's you know we know of our big major museums, but there's just thousands of little places where you could see art or museum type setting or books or music. You have all sorts of things in here like that. And was it surprising to you how many places you found like that that people just never hear of?
It was. I just love that stuff. Like weird little museum collections and even public art that you walk by all the time,
mm-hmm.
but you might just not know the story behind it.
Yeah.
There's a famous one in Ukrainian Village, which is near where I live, called... Well, I don't know if I can swear on air, but...
Well, we'd rather not, generally. You could just say the something about the word.
Is this the
fountain that's
poop? It's the fountain that's shaped like poop, yeah.
Yes.
And I just, like, walked by that all the time, and finally I just took the time to look up the story behind it.
Yeah.
And the artist, Jerzy Kinar, lives there, and he's a dog lover, but it was a reminder to his neighbors to pick up after their dogs. And he actually does a lot of religious art. So that's kind of a
I think DNA
piece.
Info did a story on it a couple years ago. Because I remember this, the fountain, and it's big. It's not like a little, and it's a fountain. It's a water fountain, right?
Yeah, it's trickling water from it.
But it looks like a big pile of...
Exactly. So that's a funny, it's just something that I saw all the time. And,
yeah.
You know, piece of art that you walk past that you just don't know the story behind
it.
So I've got things that are physically hidden and things that are just have a weird backstory.
Interesting. So one of the, I've been flipping through the book. Again, Jessica Mlynarek is here in studio with us. The book is called Secret Chicago. You can find out more at secretchicago.com. We'll talk also about Jessica's social media in a little bit. She can be found on social media at Urban Explorer. No A in Urban, just URBN Explorer, Urban Explorer. One of the fun ones I found in here was titled Till the Cows Come Home. And this is about somebody who owned land before Chicago was even officially a city. And they built a tunnel to lead their cows. Explain this to me. I don't understand why you would be building a tunnel before 1833.
It wasn't a tunnel. It was they owned the land.
Okay.
And he sold the land a few years later. But he wanted to be able to take his cows to pasture still. So he maintained the strip of land to get his cows to the pasture.
Okay,
like,
so he still
had the
plot,
right of way.
But he still had the right of way on some land.
Yes.
Okay.
And then as the property changed hands through the years, they kept... Then buildings were built around it, and then it became kind of a tunnel within a building. And now it's within a hotel.
But it was actually when the building was built up, they purposely made a tunnel in here because of this thing that was written into a deed before 1830, in the 1830s.
Yes.
That's crazy.
And then I think this was found out in the 30s, and there was a cattle show or something for the stockyards,
mm-hmm.
and the press had a field day, like, marching cattle through there. I think the mayor was there. I think it was Ed Kelly, and they that became kind of popular then. or well known then at that point, and the fact that it's still there.
You write, in 1927, nearly 100 years after Jones had purchased the land, the owners of the first plot wanted to build an office building on the property. Now think about 1927, so we're thinking like not a huge building here probably, right? The courts granted them the right to erect a 22-story building, but only if it included access to the corridor. So the building's architect incorporated an 18-foot-high tunnel to accommodate any passing wagons or farm animals. Now, can we actually go through the tunnel that's there now?
You can. And so the hotel uses it as a storage and just kind of transporting laundry and things like that through there. So I kept trying to get in touch with somebody to go on a tour and tour it. Mm-hmm. And finally, I just walked up there one day and asked the valet guy, hey, where's the door? And he's like, oh, it's right here. So you can definitely go and just peek in. There's not much to see, but I just loved it. I took a selfie in there. It's like, oh my God, I finally found the tunnel.
You're putting the selfie out. Everybody's like, what?
Yeah.
That's what?
I like, woke up one Sunday morning. I was like, I'm going to go find the tunnel.
Are there a lot of things like that, like buildings and you have speakeasies in here and things like that? I imagine there's a lot of 1920s era history. Is there a favorite thing that you can think of that you found from the Al Capone days that we like to reminisce about?
Well, there are a lot of speakeasy themed places or prohibition themed places or bars hidden within other things, which is really fun. And I love that. But the Green Door Tavern has a space that was an actual speakeasy during Prohibition. It's called the Drifter. So you go into the Green Door Tavern and you go downstairs and the speakeasy is hidden there.
Okay.
Because we're amongst friends here, it's behind a tchotchke cabinet door. So that's where the secret entrance is. It's a little hard to see.
Is it still operating or you can just see it?
It is. No, it is. It's an operational bar now. And they print their cocktails on tarot cards and they have really fun shows like burlesque or sword swallowing or magic or juggling, things like that. It's a small space. It's probably like 40-person bar.
Do they want people not to know about it or do they openly tell people about it?
They openly tell people about it.
They do, okay.
But it is fun because it's kind of hard to see. And so they have old bottles in there and old kind of circus tapestries that were all found in the space because it was used just for storage for many years.
Yeah.
They just threw all their junk down there. And when they started cleaning it out, they found this stuff. And I think they told me when they took down some drywall to move a water heater and they found up kind of towards the top of the ceiling, this is in the basement, the hatch where they would roll in the barrels from the street to get them down into there, which is pretty fun.
Yeah, that's
so cool. It operated as a speakeasy. So it's an authentic speakeasy, which I think is even more fun.
Yeah, that's really cool. What about the famous buildings of Chicago? Is there any hidden history within, say, the Museum of Science and Industry or the Field Museum or even the Sears Tower and the other? I know you've got a second Sears Tower in here.
Yes, the original Sears.
Tell me about the original Sears Tower.
So when Sears built their complex, they had the largest commercial building in the world at the time. And part of that was a tower. I think it's like 14 stories tall. So that was the Sears Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved downtown in the 70s. So to what we now call the old Sears Tower.
I still call it Sears
Tower. So the other one would be the old Sears Tower, I guess.
I guess it would
extra
be.
Extra old Sears Tower. Yeah. And that's actually just been redone a few years ago. So now there's a few different nonprofits that have a space in there. There's an event space on the top floor. It's beautiful. They've got a great view of downtown from the west side. So it's really nice to check out.
Is there a favorite place you like to go within, not necessarily one of the places here in the book, but just within the city that people don't know about, like either a park or just a walkway or just some architectural area that you like to visit?
Well, one of my favorites is Garfield Park Conservatory.
Okay.
And I just got married there, actually. I
like Congratulations.
It so much. Thank you. And I was surprised when we had our wedding there to hear about so many Chicagoans who were guests who had never been there before. And I love that place. It's so beautiful. And especially, I mean, any time of year during the summer, you can walk outside in the gardens. But in the winter, you go in and it just smells so lush. And it's warm and it's green. It's a nice antidote to the Chicago winter.
Yeah.
So I just love it all time of year.
Excellent. We're talking to Jessica God, I said it right the first time.
You did.
It is so hard to keep going, though. I can't believe now it's like stuck in my head. Jessica Mlynarek. How do you say it?
Mlynarek.
Mlynarek. Mlynarik. Okay. Jessica Mlynarik is with us. The book is Secret Chicago. You can find out more at secretchicagobook.com. If you have a comment about something you love to see in Chicago that is unknown to most people, 312-981-7200. We'll go over some other exciting places in her book next on 720 WGN. All I can say is ooh la la, ooh la la, ooh la la, ooh, ooh. Oh, I can't help you turn me on. Matt Babal here with you with Jessica Mlynarik of the book Secret Chicago. Visit her at secretchicagobook.com or follow her online on social media at Urban Explorer. That's Urban without the A, U-R-B-N, Explorer, because Urban was taken.
It was.
So it's that Urban Explorer 24. You just thought, I'll drop the A.
Yeah, I wish I could say cool. That I had a more creative reason. But
that's okay. That's okay. And what do you post on social media? What kind of things do you do? Did you take pictures of weird, out of the way places?
Yeah, I took all the photos in the book. It was really fun. So I actually went to all the 90 places and took photos. And mm-hmm. I liked photography in general. So I post about different secret places in Chicago and now elsewhere. Whenever I travel, I'm always looking for stuff. Like,
yeah,
we were just on our honeymoon in Croatia, and I was dragging my new husband through underground tunnels and all kinds of fun stuff.
Now, he must be into this too, or else this would be like the first sticking point of the marriage, I would assume.
He is. There was a few times when I was going to take photos of cemeteries, and he's like, you know, I'm just going to let you go do that on a summer day. You can go do that by yourself. But he does like photography and architecture, yeah, as well, and history.
Now, I've interviewed urban explorers before, but mm-hmm. urban explorers, as I've known them, are people that find abandoned or buildings mm-hmm. you can't or shouldn't be getting into, mm-hmm. and then they go get into them, either the tops of buildings where they shouldn't be, or just deserted buildings, or you know, secure buildings, things like that. So you're not an urban explorer in that way, right? Or do you do that type of thing too?
Not usually. I've dabbled, but I'm too scared to dangle off the ends of buildings, yeah, like some of those guys.
People die doing that.
Yeah, that is dangerous. I just like getting out and exploring different neighborhoods, yeah, different places in the city, and other places too.
So are you guys out checking out festivals all the time too?
Oh, yeah.
Chicago has so many festivals.
Lots of festivals, yeah.
Is there a favorite one? Is there something anybody who's, you know, I live out in the burbs, so I don't get into the city as much as I'd like. If I was going to bring the family in, would you be like, here's what you got to go do. Here's what you should go see.
There's so many.
Yeah.
I mean, any of them. That's hard to say. I did just go to the Ginza Festival at the Midwest Buddhist Temple a few weeks ago, which is a Japanese festival. And they have a garden that is in my book. So okay. I learned about the festival when I was researching the book. And I wasn't able to make it until this summer. And that was a lot of fun. They had really cool drumming and martial arts demonstrations. So really great food.
Chicago has a secret history of film and Hollywood that we kind of forget about. You know, movie houses were big here, but also, yeah, silent films were big here for a while. One place you have is a huge prop warehouse that people, yes, can actually go see if they make an appointment.
Correct.
And what types of things do they have there?
I mean, any prop you can imagine, honestly. And it's organized by kind of the use of it. So all the kitchen items, and so, you know, from old stoves to cans of food with, you know, old labels on them, to probably aprons, or they have an entire, I think, 1920s hair salon set. And
so if a movie or a TV show is doing some throwback, yeah, thing or a set, and they, you know, I always wonder, like, when you see a movie, like, where did they get all these cars,
they,
or where
do
they get the clothes and all these things? So like a Mad Men type thing or something
for
like,
sure,
that finds a place, yeah, like this.
Yeah, then you could get your, you know, your office, your desks, your,
yeah,
all kinds of stuff. And I asked them what the most rented props are.
Okay.
And they said it's a set of throne chairs that people rent out for weddings or something, like king and queen chair.
Oh.
Music videos. A lot of music videos get things there too, they said.
That's, yeah, so interesting.
It's really fun. It's a interesting place.
Yeah, that looks like it. So there's how many places in the book?
There are 90 places.
90 places in the book. It's called Secret Chicago. Can people, what should they do? Should they order online, order through the website? How do they get the book?
They can get it at lots of local bookstores. They can get it at my website, secretchicagobook.com. Of course, Amazon is also an option.
It's available. It's out now. And it's got a lot of great stuff and a lot of fun things. So, you know, a lot of times we go to the same places when we're in the city. Here's a lot of out of the way and fun little things to learn about and do. The book is Secret Chicago. Again, as she said, secretchicagobook.com. Order it online. Find a local bookstore and support them. And also visit Jessica at Urban Explorer on social media, URBN Explorer, Jessica Molinaric.